Good morning, class. We're so blessed to have you as our congregation on Friday morning now versus Thursday morning, and then our Friday night class on Friday evenings now. So we've combined it and everything's in one day, and me and both Paula are both having to adjust to this because we do here, and then we're also, you know, the cooking part for Friday night. And we had a very pleasurable day yesterday. We have been nonstop, like most of all you have, but it seems like forever for us. And we had a day yesterday that we could kind of not do what we've been doing for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was just all good. Had lunch with Miss Barb. That's always a pleasure and a treat. And it was just a great, great time. I want to go this morning first to rehearse and review Psalms 121, okay? And we're going to be reading all the verses this morning to lay the groundwork again for what we've been teaching on now for about 3 weeks. So Psalms chapter 121 says, I love the verses, the very first two words, I will. There is so much, talk about that for a second. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. There is so much. Yes, thank you. There is so much that we are depending on God. Okay? You listening? There is so much that we're depending on God. There is so much that God is depending on us. Now, you would think God don't depend on us, but just the fact of these two words, I will, okay? There's so much. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that, just that nugget. God's will should always be our will, and our will should always be God's will, okay? God's will should always be our will, and our will should always be God's will. So when the writer says here, I will, that means I have willed over personally, and then he goes into what I will, okay? This is what I will do. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, we said 3 weeks ago, our help is not in the hills. The hills are not going to help you. Now, there are times when you want to go to the mountain and kind of get away. That's good. We're our family, all four of us, we love the mountains and we love the beaches. Okay? And that's why God's put me right here in the middle of Kansas where there's neither one. Yeah, so we have to go away to see those. And I guess we loved them so much that my son has decided to move to Mile High, Denver, which is a mile high. And we love both of those. So the hills are not going to help you. Yes. But he that made the cattle of 1,000 hills will help you. Okay? There's a scripture that says that, you know. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, okay? From whence cometh my help. So here is the definition for where it comes from. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, okay? He will, okay, verse 1 says, I will, okay? Verse 3 says, he will. Because I will, he will. Okay? Because I will, he will. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. We're going to talk about that today. We may not get to that part. It's a long, long reading today and so much to teach from. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. We're going to talk about that today. Upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. Okay? Preserve you. He's pardoned your past. He's gave you peace in your present. He is preserving your future. Because when you do preserves, you do them in the summer that you can eat them in the winter. Okay? He's preserving your future from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out. I mean, this has got to be pretty dominant here that he mentions it three times. I'm going to preserve thee. I'm going to preserve your soul. I'm going to preserve thy going out and your coming in. Three things are preserved there. Number one, you're preserved from evil. Number two, he's preserved your soul, your seat of your emotions. And the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. He's covered both, going in, going out and coming in. Both of them is preserved. From this time forth and forevermore. Forevermore. Okay? So, as you know, we're teaching on four things. Number one, we taught on this 3 weeks ago. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Okay? Number two, the Lord is my keeper. Okay? Number three, we're going to teach on this today. The Lord is my overshadowing presence. He overshadows me. He shadows me. He covers me. Okay? And then the fourth one is, he is my constants, or my constant, or he is my constant help, my constant guide. He is with me all the time forevermore. That's what the last word of that 121. So, today, for the next 35 minutes, we're going to cover, and all right, let me rephrase that. We're going to begin to cover, we're going to begin to talk about the Lord is my overshadowing. Okay? So, Brother Don's going to go to Psalms 191 this morning. Excuse me, 91. Psalms 91. Very familiar psalm. If you've not read this psalm, and you don't read this often, and you don't pray it often, we need to, okay? So, Psalms 91, it is actually written by Moses. It wasn't written by David. I don't know if you understand. David only wrote Psalms 1 through 73, possibly through 78. Therefore, he wrote half the Psalms. He did not write all the Psalms. Psalms 91 is written by Moses. David recorded it, okay, into the Psalms. And it's talking about God being my refuge. And possibly Moses received this psalm while he was on top of the mountain in the presence of God. He was one of the only few that was alone in a fast for 40 days. Okay? They was three figures that was in the Bible of 40-day fast. Okay? Moses being number one. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Elijah was the second one. He was and did go on a 40-day fast, okay? And then our third one would be Christ, was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Striking parallels of those three. Powerful, striking parallel. Let me help you with something. It just so happens that when Christ led Peter, James, and John up to a mountain that we know now, according to, was it Luke 9, Matthew 9, the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? Because Christ was transfigured there in front of them. I think this is pretty awesome, that the three figures that I just gave you was Elijah, or Moses first, Elijah, and then Christ. They were the only three that ever did a 40-day fast, as we know, in the Bible, okay? There was three characters. On Mount Transfiguration, Christ was there with Peter, James, and John, okay? God spoke from the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him," okay? But there was two figures that appeared on top of the mount with God. And it was Moses and Elijah, the other two figures in the Bible that it did 40-day fast. It's pretty ironic. Okay, are you ready for a little bit more of theology this morning? Moses died and God buried him. They've not found his body yet. You do know that. God buried Moses. Okay? Elijah was transformed or transferred there and never died. Ironic that God buries Moses and they can't find him. Elijah is carried away in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire, and both of these appeared on top of the mount with God. That's pretty amazing to me. That's pretty awesome. There's major, major things there, because Moses represented the law. Are y'all ready for this? Moses represented the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Elijah represented the prophets, okay? And Christ represented grace. Wow, that's pretty amazing this morning. Now, that's not in my lessons, but just to help you understand the power of the Word of God. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophet, and Christ represented a grace covenant. Moses was the Mosaic covenant, Elijah was the prophetic covenant, and Christ was the grace covenant to us. So when we understand Psalms 91, that Moses was the writer, this is a powerful, powerful figure in the Bible. And I said all that to say this, that this is a supernatural writing by a man that had a supernatural experience with a supernatural God on top of a mountain 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God, in such a way that when he come down from the mountain, the Bible said his face shined with God's glory, or the Shekinah glory of God, that he had to put a veil in front of his face that the people could not look on his face, because the glory of God was shining so much on Moses' face, because he had been, are you ready for this? The Bible says this, that he talked to God as a friend talks to a friend face to face. This is powerful this morning, because one writer says that no man has seen the face of God and lived. But we know we have to understand what that verse means. Moses was in the glory of God. Oh my goodness, this is revelation this morning. Moses was in the glory of God, and you cannot die in the glory of God. Adam was in the glory of God. Eve was in the glory of God until they lost the glory when they sinned. Moses is in the glory of God, and there's a great chance while he was in that glory, he wrote Psalms 91. And that's why Psalms 91 is so powerful. I'm going to challenge every one of us. Maybe Rita and Paula, we got Rita back. We love, man, I tell you, as Don has his place, Sandy has his place, her place, and Rita, all three of them are in their prospective places working in their prospective gifts. Rita has an incredible, she generally decorates the ministry center. And so Miss Paula has decorated it, and we need Rita's touch a little bit more. And not saying that Paula didn't do a great job, she did, but we need some pumpkins, and we need some mums, and we need some stuff, and on the tables, and we need to get our pencils back and our stuff back on our tables, okay? But Rita has an incredible gift of putting stuff together. I would love for us to pray about and think about something that we can put together about Psalms 91 that we can hand out and put it in our class tonight, maybe down the road. I mean, it may become a part of our ministry. It may be, so I want y'all to pray about, Rita, you and Paul, I want you to pray about that. Something very creative concerning Psalms 91 that people can carry maybe in their purse or in their pocket or in their hand, or they can read it immediately. They can have it by their bedside. They can have it on their desk. They can have it around them all the time, that we can read it, because this is, I am so, as you can tell already this morning, I am so carried away with Psalms 91. And the more I have studied this, this morning was so off the chain, because last night at 10 minutes till 12, I was awakened. And I don't know why this happens to me, but it does. I was awakened with Psalms 91 and what it talks about, the habitation of God. Okay? Write that down. The habitation of God, okay? We're going to be talking about this for the next several weeks. May go in, I don't know, it may get so incredibly crazy. It may go all the way into the new year. I don't know. I am so moved by Psalms 91, because as you know, for now, November's a year ago, my goodness, we're going on nearly 2 years ago. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to raise, by teaching the word, I want you to raise the level of faith among the prayer school people. I want you to talk about faith. I want you to preach about faith. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to talk and preach and teach about faith. And that's where all this is. Psalms 91 this morning has blown my mind, because I had never seen it like I saw it this morning. And I mean, after, you would think, after what now, 16, and I'm 63, 47 years of preaching, okay, 47 years, you'd think you'd be seeing it all, and I'd never seen it to this morning, and especially verses 1 and 2, okay? Okay.
CEB. Living in the Most High's shelter, camping in the Almighty's shade.
Praise God. Living in the Most High's shelter, camping in the Most High's shade.
Okay. I say to the Lord, you are my refuge, my stronghold. You are my God, the only one I trust. Wow.
Praise God.
Okay,
here we go. The habitation of God. Are y'all ready? The habitation of God. I'm going to try to do more teaching this morning if I possibly can. The habitation of God, okay? I want you to look at the word habitation. Okay? Is everybody looking at the spelling of the word habit? And I promise you, we'll get both screens going, because we need Paula up on the top screen, and we may have to get Ethan on board to call or help us, but I am confessing that by next week, we're going to have both screens going of all, if you can just pray with me and believe with me. And it's not Don's fault. It's just dealing with the internet and just getting it all going back again. Anyway, look at the word habitation. Thank you, Miss Rita. She's, I'm not going to say she stole my thunder. She got it. Habit. Habit. Habit.
It's also
habit. Does Rita and Paula want to come and teach this morning? Okay. Habit. Someone tell me the first. Okay, let's do it this way. Okay. Don't say anything. Nobody say anything. Don't anybody say anything. Rita, don't say anything. Paula. Okay. Okay. What is the first word? And I may go around. What is the first word that comes to your mind when you think of the word habit? Rita?
Like a steady routine.
A steady routine. Okay, Don, habit.
Something you do all the time.
Anybody else? The word habit? I'm going to go to the dark side.
Something you do without thinking.
I'm going to go to the dark side this morning on habit. Drugs. Drugs. Nicotine. Alcohol. That's right. You're addicted.
It can be the bright side too.
Yeah. Okay. I went to the dark side that I could take you back to the bright side. I'm Darth Vader this morning. I took you to the dark side. I'm good. I just need my mask this morning, you know. And some of you don't know who Darth Vader is. That's all right. Okay. So, a drug addict, an alcoholic. Person that's addicted to nicotine, to pornography. The list goes on. What is it? They must have it. They cannot live without it. They must get their fix every day. Enough said. So, when I think about the habitation of God, or the habit, Paula said it's something you wear, as we know the nuns, they wear their habits. Okay? We have our habits. Stephen Covey wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Life-changing book. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey wrote that. We're talking about a good habit. We're talking about a great habit. And that is the habitation of God. Living in His presence. So look, let's look. Paula's already read it in the CEB. Let's look at Psalms 91 and 1. Okay? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Okay? I want you to write, you can write this down, secret place. Write that down, secret place. Okay? And then write the word and underline this one, Most High. Most High. Okay? Most High. Here we go. You ready? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? You wrote down secret place. Write down shadow. Shadow. And then right beside that, write the second word that talks about who God is. The Almighty. The Almighty, okay? In the Hebrew, that word Most High, El Elyon. You don't have to write that down, but it's El Elyon, okay? In the Hebrew, the word Almighty means El Shaddai. El Shaddai. You'd do good to read and study the names of God in the Hebrew. I will say of the Lord, write the word Lord down. L-O-R-D, Lord. He is my refuge, okay? My fortress, my God, okay? Write down my refuge. My refuge. My fortress. My God. And underline the word my God. Go back. If we're all together, go back, underline. I think you underlined Most High. Underline Almighty. Underline Lord. Underline my God. Four names. I've never seen this. In these first two verses, there are four names of God. There's four names. Each one represents and does a different thing. Number one, he is the Most High, the El Elyon. And that word El Elyon in the Hebrew means he that is ascended, he that is on high, he that is in the uppermost part. El Elyon. When the writer said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the El Elyon, the one that is above all, the one that is above everything, he is the El Elyon, okay? We dwell in this the secret place of the ascended one. I love that. We dwell in the secret place of the ascended one. The ascended one has a secret place. A secret place that cannot be found. A secret place that becomes your hiding place. You got to get this morning. This is powerful when we understand that God has... Yes, God has appropriated a place for us to hide. He's appropriated a place for us to hide. He has appropriated a secret place, and it is in the Most High. Okay, going on down. Shall abide, the word dwelleth and abide go hand in hand. Okay, the word, many years ago, I read this. The word dwell and abide is meno, okay? Meno in the Greek. Meno. He has taken his place to live there, okay? Now, I may pack my piece of luggage. This is a piece of luggage, if you can believe that. Probably not. But this is a piece of luggage, okay? Let me reemphasize that. This is a backpack, and I'm going to go over to Miss Barb's. With a backpack, how long do you think I can stay?
Not very long.
Thank you very much. Not very long. Now, the younger generation, they can. I mean, they can live out of a backpack for how long? Okay. But that's, so a backpack, I'm not planning on staying very long. Okay. But if I brought my suitcase with me this morning. Here we go. I'm bringing my suitcase. How long am I planning on staying at Miss Barb's? Don't say nothing, Paula. She knows how I pack. I always take more. So, when we see the word dwell and abide, he's not talking about a backpack that you're there for a few days or an hour or an overnight stay. God is talking about a suitcase. You have come to stay. Matter of fact, he takes it a step further. It would have been like when we hooked up that 6x12 U-Haul last Tuesday and pulled to Denver. We were moving Ethan in to live. If he would have took a backpack, he's not going to stay long. If he would have took a suitcase, he would have stayed a few days. But when you take it in a 6x12, and in the back of the King Ranch was full, and his car was full, he's going to live there. When Moses wrote this, he that lives, not a backpack, not a suitcase, he that lives in the secret place, that's the habit. That is, when you have a habit of living in the secret place of the Most High, you're going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you have a habit of living in the secret place of the El Elyon? That is what Moses is saying here. Moses said, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about dwelling in the secret place. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and I was there twice. I did it twice. Remember, he did that. He'd come down from the first 40 days, and they had backslid. He had left his brother in charge of the church. The whole church had backslid. They jerked off their earrings, and they made a golden calf. And he talked to Aaron about it. He said, I don't know. They just throw this stuff in, and he walked out, a calf. Not really. No, they formed it, and they worshiped it. And Moses broke the law. Throwed the tablets. God had written them in with the finger, his finger. Read your Bible. And he was so mad and so full of hurt, disillusionment about his brother. He throwed it down. That's why it became the broken law. And when you read the book of Deuteronomy, it means deuteros nomos. It means the second law or the second set of commandments had to be made. The first one was broken. He said, I'm going to make a second law. And that's when he went up the other 40 days. He took Joshua with him. He couldn't go all up together where he went. And the people looked up there, and it belched with fire. There was glory of God, and there was power of God. It was probably angels. And that's what, when Moses wrote this psalm, that's what he is saying. I know all about living in the presence of the Elyon because I saw him face to face. I was so close to him, I was speaking like a friend to him, and his glory literally impregnated my life till my face shined and nobody could look on me. That's what I'm talking about. When we get in a habit that we cannot live without, the church today has fell victim to learning to live without the presence of God. We cannot do that. We must have the presence of God. We must learn to create a habit every day of our life that we get somewheres in his presence. And last night at 10 minutes to 12, when I was awakened and the word habit came into my spirit and it said, make a habitation for God. Create a place that God will feel comfortable. And when I walked into my study this morning, whatever time it was, 6:30, around 6:30, 6:15, 6:30. And when I walked in there, all I could do when I picked my Bible up, I just laid my face in it. And I thank God for this book. I thank God. When I'm holding it right now, I want to cry. I thank God. I remembered the Holy Spirit just reminded me when I was in Hazard, Kentucky, preaching for Wabaco Pentecostal Church. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know if we had been on the road now for 16 years, 15 years, 40 weeks, 48 weeks out of a year, preaching 450 times a year. But one night, Don Campbell, it seemed like I just lost it. Oh, and I mean, I just went limp. I mean, I don't know what was happening to me. I remember laying in my fifth wheel, the bed was up on the fifth wheel. And I remember telling Paul, it was the first time I ever sensed this and felt this. It was an overpowering, overwhelming spirit of depression or whatever came over me. And I said, Paula, bring me my Bible. Bring me my Bible. And that night, I literally slept with my Bible. I hugged my Bible. I slept with my Bible. I would not turn my Bible loose. I slept, and I've done that now other times. And I would say, Paula, bring me the word. Bring me the Bible. I've got to have the Bible. I'm telling you, I know what God has done for me. And I said, God, bring your word as a lamp unto my feet, God. It's a light unto my path. God, your word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God, your word will never fail me. Oh my. I will say this personally this morning. Last week wasn't because we moved Ethan, but last week was one of the toughest weeks that we possibly have ever been through. And I don't know when. I'm telling you, I won't go into the full details, but I am telling you, it was horrible. It was a dark. It wasn't because we moved Ethan. It was just some things transpired. And I'm telling you, oh my. I had to go back so many times. I said, God, if I leave this place, I've left your grace. I've got to stay here. And there are so many times the enemy tries to get us and grab us. And I have to say, God, I'm in this secret place and that devil cannot find me. He will not touch me here. I'm going to stay. God, I have found it and I am staying in that secret place. And I'm telling you, I was awakened at 10 to 12 last night. Nobody knows what we have went through for the last 2 months and the demons that we have encountered and issues that we have dealt with. You say, Robert, you're being very personal. I am, because I am telling you there is a God that loves us, that cares for us. And all I have to do is stay right there in Psalms 91:1. I just got to stay right there. Devil, have a heyday. Turn your big guns. Turn hella loose. But I am staying in my secret place of the Almighty. And he cannot touch me. Oh my, when Moses wrote this, he wrote it out of experience by letting us know that I know all about being in the presence of God. I know all about living in the presence of God. I have seen him face to face. I've talked with him as a friend 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if God, maybe they camped out. Paula read it in the CEB. Moses camped out with God on the mountaintop for 40 days and 40 nights. Did God go back? Did he come down from heaven? Robert, God's a spirit. Oh, yes, but God has a body. God has a body. Are you listening to me? Oh my, this is revelation this morning. God has a body. And the reason I know that, because I don't have to go no further than Adam. God made Adam in his image. God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. He walked. So if he walked, he's got legs. Moses said, God, I can't take these people anymore. And as part of my teaching in the next few weeks, I can't deal with these rebellious people anymore. I am burnt out. I am wore out. I can't take it. He said, God, let me see your glory. And God said, I'll let you see my hinder parts. I'll let you see my back parts. I'll let you see my afterglow. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. Oh, hallelujah. There is a God in heaven this morning that we can crawl underneath his secret place and dare the devil to touch us.
Amen.
Oh, my. He tries to reach. He tries to grab. I'm going to stay in my secret place. I'm going to dwell. That word dwell is, I done moved my furniture in, God. I told you I was going to try to teach this morning, but it's just hard for me. I'm so stirred up. So I done moved that word. Well, hallelujah. It's all just, I need a bigger lip. If you know what I'm talking about, praise God. We'll get something maybe just messed up this morning. So when we moved Ethan in, we took the furniture, we moved in with him. There is nothing as powerful as moving in with God and becoming in with God. Oh, it's so much, well, I can't do that. Or you haven't read your Bible. I mean, the Bible plainly tells us if we dwell in him and he dwells in us, we shall ask what we will and it shall be done. Paul taught on it in John 15 that we are the branches. He is the vine. We're the branches. And we're so intermingled with God. Oh my, you can't. And that's what I'm talking about. Get in your secret place. Get in your hiding place. Corrie Ten Boom, I wrote it in my notes somewhere. Corrie Ten Boom wrote the book, The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. Oh my, we have a hiding place. We have, 4 minutes? Oh, Don. It's not Don, it's that dad burn clock there. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Oh, I don't know when we're going to get over this, because we got to hear this, because I think we're seeing times coming to America that we've never seen before. And if we don't have a secret place and know how to dwell there, the enemy's going to take over our lives. We got to learn to dwell there. Stay there, stay there, stay there. Get there and stay there. Let it become your habit. Your habitation. Your habitation. I must have it. I must dwell there. I must do this. Praise God. We're not going to get, honestly, I don't know when we're going to even get past 1 and 2. Because number one, God is my Elyon. He is the ascended one. He is the one that is above all. Praise God. He is the one that has taken his throne. He is sitting on his throne, and he is there surrounded by worshipers. He's surrounded by the 24 elders. The angels are in his presence. He sends them out of his presence to minister to us on this earth. God is there. Jesus Christ is at his right hand making intercession for us. Yeah. For us. That's what I'm talking about. He is the El Elyon. He is the ascended one. And we're able to talk to him. We're able to pray to him. He that dwelleth, he that's taken his abode, brought his furniture with him and moved in, Mino. Abide, because that word abide and dwell are the same one. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I will not get to all my notes, because we read to you the promises of divine help. We went through all of those. But this morning, we're talking about the secret place of the Most High. Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwells in a secret place. I printed this. One of the great Hebrew names of God, as I've already told you, is El Elyon. And it is often translated as the next part, the Most High, the Most High. And the first mention, get this, are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? The first mention of the Hebrew word El Elyon was Melchizedek. Melchizedek in the Hebrew. And Melchizedek was the high priest that Abraham met with the spoils and paid tithes to Melchizedek. Are y'all ready? We don't know who Melchizedek's father was. We don't know who Melchizedek's mother was. And we don't know where Melchizedek came from. Could have been the Lord himself that Abraham paid tithes to, because Abraham eventually became the friend of God. How do we become friends to someone? Tell me. We invest time with them. We want to hang around them. We want to be with them. I'm your friend. Learn more about them. Yes, I'm your friend. He that sticketh closer than a friend. There is one that sticketh closer than a friend. El Elyon, the ascended one. Dwell in that secret place. Everybody say with this, brother, this morning, I have a secret place. I have a secret place. I have a refuge. I have a fortress. Oh, hallelujah. I cannot wait to talk about refuge and fortress. Because, boy, when I think about fortress, I can't go there. Because fortress, the first four letters of the word fortress is fort. Okay? Are y'all ready for this? What if I took away the word M-Y and added C-O-M? Comfortress, comforter. In the Greek or the Latin, when you see the word comforter, it's comfortress. There it is. We have a refuge. We have a comfortress or a fortress or comforter. For comforter. This is not a comforter. This is a quilt. We have a comforter. This is great this morning. Praise God. I tell you, I love Psalms 91. We went many years ago. We learned to say it. We'd recite it for months and months and say it and preach it to each other, me and Miss Paula. I love it. I cannot. I am so looking forward to, oh my goodness. Oh, can I help you with something right now? Can I help you with something
help
right
us,
now?
Help us.
911. 911. What do you do when you need help? You call 911. When you need help, what do? You call 911. I quit. I can't go anymore. 911. 911. Isn't that powerful? Praise God. Father, thank you this morning that you are my El Elyon. You are my El Shaddai. Oh, praise God. You are my refuge, my fortress, my Almighty, my God. You are my everything. Oh, Father God, let us create a habit of dwelling in our secret place. God, yes. This is our key to victory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.